What is the current situation in Gaza at the moment with your team being on the ground?
Well, the team said it's horrendous. They said they're limited in every way. The biggest difficulty is people in the north need a lot of help. And he said, the report came yesterday, that if you move from the north to the south, even though they've asked you to move from the north to the south, they hassle you on the way, they stop you, they sniper you, they bomb you with tanks. All of the tanks have moved from the north, they're on the side, on the roads. If you try to come from the south to the north, it's a no-go. They'll kill you on sight. People want to go back to their homes, but there is no home to go back to. They flatten everything. And even you go back to the home, there's no shops, there's no electricity, there's no water, there's no food, there's no medical care. So it's a useless situation. The trucks that are coming in, only 10 a week get to the north, and there's hundreds of thousands of people there. The food stores that come from the UN compound, and there's no UN compound in the north to facilitate that. So there is some kind of looting that takes place. There's a criminal element that's taken place. It's desperation. So a lot of people who deserve to get the stuff don't get the stuff. Some people sell the food at a high price. Where it's more controlled is in Rafah in the south. But it's not only the people in the south that need help. It's in the central area of where Khan Yunis is. Again, 30 hospitals are not functional. There's no fuel. 57,000, almost 60,000 wounded, injured people need urgent support. 6,000 people have to be evacuated immediately to outside, whoever wants them, otherwise they're going to die. 180,000 people have respiratory disease that need treatment. 140,000 children, more, a large portion of them under 5 are children that have diarrhea that needs to be treated. There's emotional and psychological challenges. There's starvation. Children and adults are dying of hunger. There's thirst, there's pain, there's suffering. And our teams themselves and the medical care guys don't know who's alive and not alive. The doctors are exhausted. They can't function anymore. And they need a support team to come in to support them. We've got 150 medical personnel to go in. I can even double that amount. Because I've got guys from the UK, from America, from other parts of the world wanting to join us. But I don't have to do that. There's enough South Africans wanting to go in to support. But whilst we're doing that, our psychologists are in training, talking to the people in Palestine. How should we modify the counseling method? They're going to special courses. So whilst we're sitting here in 100 days tomorrow, we're not wasting time. And even the surgeons, what equipment is required, we are ready. So if that border opens up, if we get the permission, we're ready to move in.
I was recently in Cairo. I spoke to Dr. Nasser Sheikh as well, who's very instrumental in the logistics of some of the trucks that go over to the Rafah border as well. Are there still trucks being intercepted? And are we still finding that the aid is not getting to the right people, the people of Gaza that need it desperately?
Well, intercepted is being stopped. They're not being intercepted. They're being delayed. It's a difference. There's a very long procedure involved in getting truck aid to Gaza. It's about 15 steps. It's very complicated in terms of bureaucracy. The trucks, you first of all have to apply for permission. Then you have to get the Egyptian Red Crescent to deliver it. They got to arrange the trucks. Then you've got to give a manifest of what you want to put in. And they can suddenly look at the list and they say they don't like number 4, not them, the Israelis. Number 4, number 5, number 10, you've got to unpack. You've got to prepare a new list. You can't put in tents. You can't put in certain medical supplies. You can't do this, that, and the other. The bigger countries have been fortunate to manage to get some tents inside. NGOs are having a battle to get that in. The trucks then go to Al Arish. They have to wait there to get permission to join the convoy. Only 20 to 30 trucks, or sometimes at a good day, 50 trucks can go. But then they cross into Kerem Shalom. It's on the Israeli side. They can stay there for 3 days. They go to the whole truck. That distance from Rafah to Kerem Shalom is 30 kilometers. It took my trucks 13 days to cross 30 kilometers. And then they come back to Rafah and they go to Qatar House. Qatar House is a stopping point controlled by the UN. There they have to offload. Then the Palestinian trucks have to come and fetch them. The Palestinians don't have enough trucks and they don't have enough fuel. And then they're going to move that stuff to other parts of the country where it's possible. The roads are not functional. There's bombing everywhere. It's difficulty. People are in desperate need. So, and the aid is so limited, it can't get to everybody. We got in another 7 trucks yesterday. It's at Kerem Shalom. I don't know how many days it will take to come back in. But even when you get in, to answer your question, there's a deliberate policy to obstruct. They don't intercept. They allow the trucks to go through. But if they decide they don't want the 5 items of the truck, they'll send it back.
One last question. You recently lost a pivotal member of your team on the ground in Gaza as well, which we want to say that all of us at Hilal TV feel for yourself and your organization as well. But this happens to so many other organizations in and around that provide aid, and it can obviously put a damper on some of the work that is needed in Gaza at the moment. What is your message to all those NPOs that are assisting, even though they're going through so much right now?
Well, let's let rather my Palestinian people answer that question in the way they said it. So on the 7th of October, we called them and said, Netanyahu is going to bomb the hell out of you guys. His ego has been dented, right? And he's going to go crazy. Because there's a teaching that whom the gods destroy him, he makes mad first. Classical example right now. And we said, be ready. They said, we know the people. We're ready. 5 days later, I said, oops, you guys are in serious trouble here. They said, we know. This is the worst. This is genocide. I said, expand the team. In case somebody dies, we need to replace you guys. The work must carry on. They said, we already did that. We're anticipating to die. So we will not give up. You know, we will fight till the end. We're not leaving here. On the 12th of November, as I mentioned earlier, he said, Ahmad Abbas, the person who was killed, said, and I got a premonition around the same time that he was going to die. And he said, I will not move. I'm staying in the north. I'm taking my wife and my 3 children. And my 30 family members, we're going to stay in our own apartment, in our own house, and we're going to wait for the bombs to fall on us. We will die as non-military martyrs, but we will not suffer the indignity of being pushed from pillar to post. We rather die in dignity. My family can be in the house. I will deliver what I've been mandated to do as a Palestinian. I know my responsibility. I will not give up. And on the 16th, coming out of the mosque, he was murdered by the Israeli occupation forces, and his brother, a doctor, was also killed. Instantly, we moved. We got our teams in Gaza. We are here, we're not there. We got them to move the 30 family members, the wife and the 3 children. They are in relative safety, if there's such a thing in Gaza. For now, you know, from the 16th of November, we're grateful that he's still alive. And the another team member lost 100 family members. The other family team members together lost 50. So we've lost 150 family members. But they are so motivated by what they see here, what they see in South Africa. And they say, your protest, your standing up, the government going to the ICJ, Palestinians from the diaspora said, we salute you. Thank you. You're keeping our struggle alive. So to answer your question to all the NPOs, it's the Palestinians that are driven, and their spirit can never be broken. You can kill Gaza. You can destroy a building, you can cut water, but you can't break the spirit.
Shukran so much, Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, from the Gift to the Givers. Have a great afternoon.
Walaikum Salaam. Thank you very much.